This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. And when they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.'" So they went, and they found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Then Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Still waiting. Still waiting. When Jesus enters into Jerusalem, it is with a great fanfare. As it is described in the scriptures, in the gospels, this procession into the city rivals some of the grandest processions that that city has seen. They make it sound like the whole town is turning out, like the hillsides are covered with people coming down from the Mount of Olives into that glorious city, coming down with such hope and expectation. And at this time, there has been a lot of hope and expectation building up into this moment. Up until this time, Jesus has been moving about the countryside of Israel and Judea, moving through Galilee, on the banks of the seashores, through Samaria, into the places on the far shores where the Hebrews are strangers and the Gentiles live. And everywhere that Jesus has gone thus far, crowds have found him. He has tried to escape them. He has tried to swim, to boat across the lake. And the crowds have followed him there because everywhere that Jesus has gone thus far, he has been doing grand, miraculous things. Those who have followed Jesus up till now have seen the hungry fed. Not just in small numbers, not just in the dozens, but in the thousands. And by some accounts, the tens of thousands. As those counts of 4,000 and 5,000 only include the men. And there's women and children besides. Those crowds that have followed Jesus up until now, they have seen miraculous things. They have seen Jesus heal. They have seen the lame be able to stand up and walk, strengthened by their faith. They have seen those who have been possessed by demons, had those demons expelled. They have seen people who were hurt and hurting for years on end, finally, upon meeting Jesus, find wholeness in their lives and wholeness in their bodies and wholeness in their minds and be able to go and engage fully in the community and in society. Everywhere that Jesus has gone, miraculous things have followed. And that builds quite a crowd. There's a lot of people following when the miracles are happening. There's a lot of people following. And Jesus is teaching them too along the way, trying to teach them that these signs are not the end goal. These signs are not the purpose of his coming. They are but signs pointing to something else. And what that something else is, he tries to name in his teachings. In his teachings to the people about how to care and how to love, even when it's really, really hard. How to forgive. And in all of these things, all of this movement that has ranged across the countryside, it's all been headed to one place, to Jerusalem. And now on this day, the crowds have built and built with his ministry, and now they enter Jerusalem with great and holy fanfare. Their shouts, Hosanna, Hosanna! The one who comes in the name of the Lord, this is him, he's coming. Blessed is this kingdom that is coming, that he is bringing, that he is announcing, that is in our midst, as he says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we're going to see it now. And they come in from the countryside, and those in Jerusalem must have witnessed quite a spectacle. Those in Jerusalem might have been caught up in some of that majesty and some of that energy. And maybe some of those living in Jerusalem who hadn't heard of this guy before looked out their windows and saw this procession coming in and wondered, who is this and what is going on? And they grab their coats and they head outside to go see, and maybe they're caught up in the moment of it all, and they find themselves laying their own coats down, waving their own branches, joining in the fun of the procession. Where is this leading to? Where is this going? And so with expectation, they follow Jesus. And they follow Jesus into the town, into the city of Jerusalem, and up the hill towards the temple. And here Jesus enters the temple, finally at the end of this grand procession. And I can imagine that for a moment, they all hold their breath as Jesus walks into the courts and he looks around and then he goes home. The scripture this morning leaves us still waiting for something miraculous. There's a grand procession and a grand buildup, but then right at the end of our pericope this morning, that verse 11, it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem. He went into the temple. He looks around. And since it's late, he heads back out of town to go camp with his disciples. It's kind of a funny way to end such a miraculous grand day. It's anticlimactic in a way. Now we know what's going to come next, being the Christians that we are, being familiar with this story as we are. We know what's coming the rest of this week, as Jesus will come back to the temple. We won't have to wait too long. He'll come back to the temple and he'll do some teaching there. And from that temple teaching, he'll start to anger some of the Pharisees a little more. And he'll start to get the high priest angry. He's going to start ruffling the feathers of those who have power in the city. And they're going to conspire with one of his own disciples who will betray Jesus into their hands as they're gathered in the campsite. And that's coming. It's leading there. But that leading place, that place isn't exactly what the people were all hoping for and waiting for either. Because where this grand procession is leading ultimately is into a place of complete self-sacrifice. A place where all those crowds will have left Jesus and he will be abandoned, denied even by the closest disciples to him. Even Peter, on whom he said he would build his church, will come to deny him 3 times. And that's all coming soon. And the real miraculous thing, that Easter resurrection, that's coming too. But today, in this moment of procession, we find ourselves still waiting to celebrate the fullness of all that the resurrection has to promise. still hoping and wondering what it will be like when that kingdom comes in full, still wrestling with the ways of the world as it is. Now I know part of that waiting is fulfilled today. We've been waiting now all winter as a community of faith, waiting through online worship, waiting, worshiping together, but in separate ways, in ways that we can't fully experience the full gathered community of the faithful. And it's been a hard winter for our faith. It's been a struggle, I know. As you and I have tuned in on Sunday faithfully and seen worship and worship through our screens and engaged in the community that way, and yet there is something still wanting. And I've heard it in your voices. I've heard it in your questions. We save gathered, this gathered community fulfills a special place in our hearts as Christians. It seems that there is power in this gathering. There is power in coming together. There is power in seeing that we're not doing this business of faith and spirituality, this walk behind Jesus on our own, but that there are others gathered with us. There are others in this procession. There are others seeking to follow Jesus as well. And doing it, knowing that we're doing it not alone, makes that hard road a little bit easier. And so today we are excited to finally be back with warmer weather and technology that hopefully is still engaging those of us who can't gather in person, but finally be able to gather to see one another face to face again, even if it is still outside. And I know for many of us that we're still waiting for that day when we can fully gather indoors as well. And it's not just being in the building that we're waiting for. It's the ability to be able to greet one another with a smile that can be seen out from behind a mask, with a handshake or a hug that can be felt, with a passing of the peace that can be fully experienced in more than just honking, and the twinkles of an eye, and that gathered community feeling. And for that, we're still waiting. We're still waiting as we wait for this pandemic to end. It's been a long year. It's been a long year of waiting. We've struggled through it. And in many ways, we've risen to the occasion as a community of faith. We have found new ways to gather. We have come together in spite of all the hardships and found ways to still engage in this walk of faith. And we're getting there, dear people. The end is in sight. We rejoice that the vaccines here in Minnesota are becoming available this next week to everybody who's safe to get them, everybody over the age of 16. It's sooner than we expected, and we hope that this will bring an end to this pandemic even quicker. And yet, we still wait because we are hoping for safety. We're hoping to keep one another healthy until we can all be healthy. We can gather without fear of this disease anymore. We're looking forward to that day. There's someone else who is still waiting this morning that I want to take a little moment as we conclude this sermon to consider. And that was this little donkey, this colt, this young animal tied out at the doorpost, tied out in the village, waiting. I wonder what the donkey was waiting for. Maybe it was waiting for a nice carrot or a bunch of oats. Maybe it was waiting for its master to come back and care for it. Maybe it was waiting for its mother, being a young colt, wondering where its mother had gone. As the colt was waiting, it didn't know what it was waiting for. It certainly didn't expect these strangers coming up and untying it and leading it away. But it seized that moment. It gave itself into that moment. It submitted to the hands of this new master. The Lord needs it. The Lord needs you, the disciples say to the little colt as they walk it away back to Jesus. The Lord needs you. Come with us. It's going to be okay. It being a young colt, it hadn't been ridden. It was unsure about this new task. It was unsure about what it was being asked to do. This was unfamiliar territory, unfamiliar ground. And yet, as they lead it out, they lead it to a gentleman, a man who has a way with the creatures of the earth, a man who maybe gives it a little pet, a little scratch behind the ears, and then comes and sits on its back. As the colt was now bearing this new master, submitting unto his hand, he walks down the street. And as he walks, suddenly people start cheering. Now that's a lot of excitement for an animal that has never been ridden. That is a lot of excitement. I've been with animals that have never been ridden, animals that are still being trained to bear riders. And they get skittish around so much activity, skittish over walking over unfamiliar ground. They start to balk, they start to balk. But this donkey, we don't see that happen. Maybe it was the words of the one on its back encouraging it along the way. Maybe it was the specialness of that moment. Maybe the donkey thought the parade was for it, and they were so excited and pleased at this honor. But whatever it was, on this day that should have terrified this little animal found a passion and a purpose. There are times when we're terrified about what is being asked of us. When what is being asked is something that we've never done before. When we feel unprepared, untrained, unready. And this long year has been a year of doing that over and over and over again. So many things we have been confronted by that we weren't ready to face. And yet, dear people, with your faith, with your experience, and now, perhaps the next time you're faced by something that you don't feel quite ready for, you can remember the waiting of that little donkey. The waiting that didn't know what was coming. And yet, when God called through the voice and the hand of Jesus, when that purpose came, when that opportunity arose, when that moment came, may we too bear the burden of Christ, being the ones that Christ rides in on, leading us into unexpected places, leading us into holy places. This week, let's be led into those holy places. Let's enter into the difficulties of really engaging in this Holy Week. Through all the hard stuff that Brittany talked about in her message. The hard stuff of acknowledging the death of our God. Looking ahead for that resurrection. For the promise that death will not ever have the last say. But let's engage in all the difficulties that it takes to get there. And in faith, let us wait. As we wait to celebrate the fullness of God's presence, God's resurrection, God's life, wherever it may show up. Amen.